Hello, everyone. I'm going to give you guys a minute to get in while I'm. All right, so this is a pro setup. I am at the hotel for camp and I'm on a chair facing a window with you propped up on the windowsill. But we got to do how we got to do. So I'll just show you guys real quick while y'all are coming in. This is what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the little busy cars driving by. With the airfield right across the street from me. So I'm ready for camp. I am I'm like just all go time at this point. So we start tomorrow. Today is a full no BS team meeting where we are going to train today and talk about important things for you guys. And just I love getting an opportunity to spend a full day with the team. We're never together, hardly ever. So a couple times a year we get a rare opportunity where the majority of us can be here. So almost all of us are here, which is nice. So today we're going to talk about I'm still hungry. So we're continuing the Hunger Games this week here at No BS. And we wanted to do this one today because a lot of us, when we are learning how to do the basics, there is like first there's the drama around getting hungry and stuff. There's fear that I might still be hungry after I eat. But today, what I really want to talk about is what happens when you are still thinking, I'm still hungry. So you've planned your food and done the things, and you're still hungry. So the first thing that we have to remember is that hunger cues. I'm gonna have to get way back here. I'm used to being at my computer. Okay, I gotta do like the lean back. Hunger cues can be habitual and one of the things that you have to do is you have to give them time to regulate. So what does this mean? A lot of times when we've been eating by the clock or we have been eating like either you're eating by the clock or maybe you have like a ritual snack every night that you do because you unwind or whatever. I think there's often a lot of fear that we're going to be hungry. And what ends up happening is that when you're fearing you're going to be hungry, the slightest whisper of hunger will send you into panic mode. And so, the first thing that I really want you guys to think about is, do I need to be afraid of hunger? Like, I really want you to like talk to yourself honestly about it in your journal. I want you to give yourself the opportunity to really question that, to really say, like, what would be the worst that would happen? You know, if the worst that would happen is that you overeat, okay, you've done that a thousand times. Overeating ahead of time is not really a good solve. You know, if you get like one of the things I think that's really good is to calm down your brain. So allow it to like get out its irrational fears and then question them. Like, okay, are these rational fears or irrational fears? If I do get hungry, I can always give myself permission to eat something if I need to. So, like allowing yourself to just calm your brain down. But here's what happens a lot is when you are going to like truly wait for hunger, and let's say it's at night, sometimes you have to give your stomach and your brain time to regulate a little bit. This is really for anyone who has been what I would just call safety snacking, like at 10 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, for fear they might get hungry, or someone that is eating at night out of habit because that's how they've always wound down, that's what they want. When you start cutting those things because you're not truly hungry, your body has gotten used to you eating. So it may just send up hunger cues and you're not truly hungry. It's just running on autopilot. Remember, our body, its goal is to put everything on autopilot, including hunger signals sometimes. So, this is the things I want you to remember about it, is when you feel them, if you, here's how I always like to know if I'm having faux hunger that's not emotional. A little bit might be emotional because you're like just wanting your snack, but like, is it faux hunger because my body's used to it, or is it a legit hunger? If you eat dinner at 6, and when you finish, you're like, I've had enough. I've even gotten to eat what I want. This is great. And at 8 o'clock, you're starting to get hungry. It's probably faux hunger. If every night you've been eating at 8 o'clock in response to just wanting something, your body eventually is like, okay, that's the habit she wants. So now I need to send up some hunger cues. It doesn't mean, and this is really important when it comes to hunger cues, your body will throw up hunger cues, but that does not mean that your body will just keep on getting hungrier and hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. Very often what happens is hunger, especially initial hunger, will come, and then if you don't respond, it will go away. It will wane off for a little bit, and then the next time it will come, and it may come a little stronger. So for a lot of you, there's this irrational fear that comes up that if you get like the little bit of hunger, that like, oh my God, I'm going to go from like a level 2 hunger to a level 10 in a nanosecond. That doesn't always happen. So getting over some of this stuff is super helpful. So I need to make sure I put my things in order. I keep all these in case I ever need to break these out for you guys again. Here's 3 things not to do when it comes to I'm still hungry. When you think I'm still hungry, number one, do not argue with it. Don't sit there and be like, I shouldn't be hungry. Don't yell and whine about it. Just notice if you're thinking I'm still hungry, you can say, I had enough at dinner. I'm good. You can just say things like that. But getting into an argument and saying things like, I shouldn't, what happens? When we argue, when we say, I shouldn't be hungry, when we talk about it like it's, you know, this shouldn't be happening, we jack up anxiety. We jack up adrenaline. We jack up our cortisol. What do most of us do when we're anxious? What do most of us do when we have adrenaline and cortisol running through our bodies? We eat to calm ourselves down. So, number one, if you're thinking, I'm still hungry, the last thing you need to do is argue with yourself and drive the emotions and drive the feelings in your body that will trigger you to want to eat and escape. Number two is don't wish it away. So don't sit there and be like, I just wish this wasn't happening. Whenever you're bemoaning about, like, I think I might still be hungry, whenever you wish it away, guess what? We feel defeated. We feel hopeless. We feel sad. We get angry. What happens when we feel defeated and sad and angry? Most of us want to eat. Here's a solution. So watch your brain and what it's thinking about so that you're like, a lot of you wonder why you end up going, fuck it, I'm just going to eat. I'll do better tomorrow. When you allow the runaway train, the early thoughts to go, guess what? You just keep scrolling through shitty thoughts until you get to the point to where eating is a better option than sitting and struggling. The struggle isn't real. You know what the struggle is? The struggle is thoughts. All of you, please hear me. A lot of you be like, girl, struggle is real. What comes of this? Oh, no, it's not. The struggle is a lot of thinking that you're not managing. If you're feeling struggle, it's your thoughts. It is not because you're not eating. It is not because you're still hungry. When you get the hunger signal, it's because you're either thinking I shouldn't be hungry, or you're wishing it away, or number three, you're judging yourself for it. I must be so broken. I must be the only one that ever gets hungry like this. I bet nobody else goes through this. All them success stories. They just sitting over there in easy land and look at me. Poor, broke ass soul. What happens when we have a pity party for ourselves? What happens when we feel sorry for ourselves? Guess what? We eat. Guys, if you notice that you're still hungry, or you're thinking I'm still hungry, these 3 things cannot be happening. If they start up, look, I even drew you old shitty. He's right there. When he knocks on the door, guess what we do? We have to redirect our mind. We have to be like, oh yeah, I knew this would happen. That's okay. My brain's throwing a fit. But I'm here to save the day. I got a reasoning brain. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going, you guys get out. We don't need you. Don't need you. I'm going to turn down the volume of old shitty. I'm going to turn up the volume of it's okay. I'm learning. I'm going to have all kinds of thoughts, and it's all okay. All right. Now, here's what you do think. So I've told you what you'd watch out for. Here's what we are going to think. Number one, I'm getting used to dining in. Instead of I shouldn't be hungry, it's like, look at me. I'm getting used to dining in. Sitting here, getting used to it. What is dining in? It's where, rather than having a snack, like a Ding Dong or a Twinkie or some Oreos, Cheetos, you are the snack, my friend. Guess what? I'm going to dine in on these thighs. I'm going to hit the pantry of my ass. This is what's going to happen. So, first thing we're going to think is, I am the snack. I am the dining in. I am learning all of this. Number two, when you think, I'm still hungry, this is a sign to keep going. That's the next thought we want to have. Oh, this is a sign to keep going. This is a sign to wait it out. I'm going to get used to it. Like, I'm just letting my habit signals of hunger dial it on down. The third thing to think, this is normal. I can't say this enough. This is normal. Most of you are sitting around your shitty ass thoughts and judging yourself to fuck. Don't do it. It's normal if you have old shitty thoughts. It's normal sometimes to get a little hungry and wait. Like, all that's just called normal. It's not called a problem, hard, difficult, unfair, broken, none of those. It's called normal. So watch how you talk to yourself. Now, I want you guys to make sure that you're paying attention to your body when you're eating and waiting for hunger. The first thing is, when you're eating foods, so we're all planning our foods. We talked about good, better, best last week. We got all the things we put on our plan. When you're eating, I want you guys to start really checking in and really questioning the stuff you're putting in your body. Not because it's bad or not because of anything like that. I want you guys to start experiencing food beyond just what it orally tastes like. So many of us, that's like the only fucking like priority we have is, what's it going to do to my tongue, that kind of thing. So when you eat your foods, it's like, just give yourself for the next week. After you eat, like right after you eat and then about an hour, I want you to ask yourself, do I feel good with this food? And I don't mean like, I'm not talking judgment and stuff. Like, I literally want you to drop into your body and I want you to think, okay, like how does my digestion feel? How's my breathing? Do I have a runny nose? Let me just tell you something hilarious. So my son loves nuts and stuff. And every year about this time, I'm pretty sure it's allergies, but he gets very itchy ears. So, and I'm a picker. So I ordered one of those machines where we're going to like clean his ears out and stuff. But he's not been taking me up on that offer just yet. He says when I get back from camp, he's going to let me get in there. So I'm ready. But I told him, I said, you know, we can use this machine or whatever. So he decided to look on the internet. He looked up, it's like, what could cause itchy ears? And he found several articles that said eating nuts, dairy, and sugar could cause itchy ears. And he gets tired of it because his always are, you know, he's doing that all the time. So I saw him with his bag of pistachios, putting them in the pantry, which I knew was a sign something like some fuckery was afoot because Logan puts nothing away. And I said, like, what are you doing? What are you doing with the nuts like that? And he's like, I'm putting them away. And I was like, okay, great. And he said, well, I'm putting them away because I'm going to like for the next 2 weeks, I'm not having dairy. I'm not going to have nuts and I'm not having sugar. Just serious as a heart attack. And I said, why?
like that. And he, because I know he loves nuts. And he said, I read on the internet that it causes itchy ears. And I just figure in 2 weeks, I'll know if that's the cause. I was like, oh my fucking God. He's just sitting there so undramatically. He's paying attention to his body. He's sitting there thinking it through and researching it. And I'm like, can all my grown ass, no BS women just like take a page out of his book? Seriously. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to pull a Logan for the next week or so. And I want you to think about after you eat, I want you to just examine like, what's going on with my digestion? What's going on with my breathing? Do I get like a runny nose an hour after I eat shit? Just pay attention to all of it. Here's the thing. Let's say you're getting some physical symptoms. You don't have to cut the foods out. Just like Logan didn't have to choose it. But he's just like, I just want to see if this will work. So you will give yourself the opportunity to just know the full spectrum of your food by doing that. And you get to decide, is it like enough discomfort that I want to try maybe eliminating or switching this food out or adding something different in? Or it's like, it's not that uncomfortable. Or I feel amazing when I eat these things. Because a lot of you think that carbs like really do a number on you. And then sometimes when you guys add carbs back in, you realize you have like a lot more energy. Like you've been paying attention more about like what the weight loss experts are saying instead of you being a body expert. So think about how it feels in your body. And I want you to think about this, especially when you're talking about hunger. Is it keeping me satisfied long enough? Some foods just aren't going to have the same traction as other foods. And the only way you're going to know is just by paying attention and deciding to learn some of this stuff. But like, I really, though, for a lot of you, what ends up happening is I tell you these things and your brain goes to, yeah, but if I find out this stuff, that means that I can't have, I won't be able to eat, I shouldn't, whatever. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean a shouldn't, it doesn't mean a can't. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. It just means you have information. And you get to decide what you want to do with it. You may want to tweak some things and change some things, but all I want you to do is give yourself the fucking opportunity to start being there for yourself. Like, there are certain foods I eat that do not settle well with me, but I love them. Guess what? I keep them. I don't give a shit. There are other foods that don't do well with me, and I'm just like, bye. It's not worth it. Like wine is a really good example. So, you know, I have gotten where I've paid attention so much with wine that even I know that even a glass of wine, there's a little altercation in my energy levels and how I sleep. This Oura Ring has taught me that whenever I drink even one drink, it will show me the next day. It's always like, hey, something happened. Are you okay? It's like, you didn't recover well. And like, you know, it's like pause. But I love it. So I like, but now that I know that it really does have some like effects on me, I am a lot more choosier when I'm going to drink. I'm always like looking at my week. Like I won't drink the night before a big day. With if it's a big workout or a big meeting day or where I've got to really show up, I've manipulated things, but I haven't given it up. So you don't have to do anything. But I think it's a very compassionate and loving and big girl thing to do for yourself to just play like where you can see all of your cards. Now, let's not gamble our life away with all of our cards laid down and we're just taking wild ass guesses. So what this does when you start paying attention is it allows you to judge foods beyond just their taste and the emotions behind it. You start allowing yourself to get the whole picture of what's going on. So some of the things that you can do, though, let's say that you've been paying attention and you're eating and you're like, Corinne, I'm serious. Like, it just isn't lasting me very long. I really do think my foods should take me through a little bit longer. You can try these things. Number one is up your fats and proteins. Healthy fats, nuts, seeds. Like, when I have salads, I always have bacon. I always have egg on it. I have full fat dressing on it. I usually have like full fat cheese on my salads. You can throw nuts on salads. You can throw seeds on salads. There's all kinds of things that you can put on a salad. You can even put chia seeds inside of a salad. There's just lots of good things you can do. I always like eggs and bacon because you get some fat and you get some protein. So that's what, like, my typical salad is a fuck ton of vegetables. It's got a huge veggie base. And then on top, it's got chickpeas for good carbs and fiber, hard-boiled eggs, bacon, cheese. What all do we put in my salad? Aunt JJ makes it. Cherry tomatoes, celery, diced peppers. She buys that shredded broccoli stuff that, like, is a big old shredded broccoli. We put that down. And then underneath that is like kale lettuce. It is a delicious salad. Oh, and onion. There's always lots of onion in my salad. I love onions. And there's shredded carrots. I'm trying to think of everything. It's like a kitchen sink salad. That's why I call it the big ass salad. But it's my favorite. And so I pretty much eat one of those almost every day. In fact, every now and then I'll tell her, oh, I'm not going to do a salad this week. And I will get through about 3 days and be like, fuck me. I wish I had had Aunt JJ make me a salad. So I really do love them. And my favorite dressing, if anybody's asking right now, I'm on a total Thousand Island jam. It's just reminding me of my childhood. So that's the dressing I use. The other thing you can do if your food's not holding you is try to add real food. Notice that I am not telling you to, like, take this away and then put this in. Try adding these things at first. Just add in some fats and proteins. Add real food to your plan. So a lot of us get into a rut where we're not eating a lot of real foods. Try eating, like, more real foods in there. I know the sheets are backwards. Sorry, guys. I never remembered it. I don't know where that function is. I'm usually on my computer and not on my phone. So, but you guys can figure it out. Then here's the diet mentality thoughts to watch out for. I want you to watch out for, you can have what you want. You might just want more for yourself now. A lot of us, when we are adjusting food, when we are tinkering around with things that we're eating, when we're paying attention and stuff, we drop into the mentality of, now I can't have this. I touched on this earlier. I shouldn't be eating this. Those, like, I can't have, I shouldn't have, are two red flag thoughts. That's diet mentality. I want you guys to think about this, because a lot of times when I talk about diet mentality, you guys immediately go to, like, foods that you're planning. Like, you will tell me, like, I must have diet mentality. My menus are full of diet mentality. You'll read off your menu and I'm like, your menu sounds like mine. That doesn't sound like diet mentality. That's because I'm not sitting around thinking about all the foods I can't have. I'm not thinking of all the foods I shouldn't be eating. I'm not looking at my plan when I put down, like, foods I really love and think, oh, you really shouldn't eat that, Corinne. That diet mentality is the mental construct of which you build your food plan from. It's the mental construct you're using to do things. What you plan to eat is the do line of the think, feel, do cycle. The thoughts and feelings backing it up, that's where diet mentality is. It has nothing to do with the food you put on there. Because someone like me could be eating your plan and seriously be thinking, I am so proud of myself. I eat a lot of real food now. That's not a diet mentality thought. A diet mentality thought is, well, I better put these foods on my plan or I'll be a fat butt the rest of my life. That would be called diet mentality. So you can have anything you want, guys. It's just the way that we do things here at No BS. It's just, I want you to start thinking, like, maybe I want more for myself than just these foods now. Maybe I want more out of my life than just the taste. Maybe I want the energy that comes with it, the satiation, the, like, adding years to my life. Sometimes I do want just the taste, and sometimes I might want more. What would that be? All right, so here's today's call call to action. I want you to take a look at your foods, and I want you to, like, each day, I want you to put, like, a good, a better, and a best next to things that you're eating. And remember, that scale is yours. It is not Corinne's. There's no hard and fast one. It's what you determine and decide. And there's no good or bad on this. All I want you to do is put, like, write your food plan, and then I just want you to write good, better, best next to everything. And then I want you to give a percentage. What's the percentage of good foods? What's the percentage of better foods? What's the percentage of best foods? And then all I want you to do for the next few days, and do it today, but do it, I would say do this for a few days, is just pay attention to the impact that they have on how long you stay satisfied, how you feel for the day, what your energy levels are. I just want you to say, like, you know, I just want to get a clear picture. And then I can make decisions. And for some of you who are just beginning on this journey, your first decision might be to change nothing, but to just be like, oh, I see why sometimes I might be so tired. And then, you know, when I'm ready to tinker around, when I feel strong enough, that's when I'll tinker around with some foods. Right now, I'm totally okay with this. And for right now, I just want to be consistent with my planning and paying attention to when I get hungry and paying attention to when I get enough and getting my bearings settled on all of it. And as I build my confidence in those things, knowing that I'm never having to do anything and I'm learning to never tell myself I should, I will feel more confident to start experimenting a little bit because I'm learning how to have my own back. And then for those of you who've been around a while, where you already feel pretty confident, you're already doing these things, do this exercise and pay attention. And if you notice, like, oh, I do notice that my energy is a little low. Maybe it has been because I need to up my proteins. Maybe I need to up my carbs in the morning. Maybe I need to, you know, like, tinker with some things. Like, maybe, like, even just adding a baked potato at night. Maybe that'll make me sleep better. Who knows? I'm willing to try. So wherever you're at, you can do this exercise. Okay. This is the last live 2.0 basics until next Tuesday. So tomorrow morning and Monday morning, you will get a pre-recorded video inside the Facebook group. We will also be loading it to the video replays where we've been putting everything on the website, and we'll drop it into the private membership. For everyone who is coming to camp, I will see you soon. I've already seen some of the campers here in Nashville. Saw some of you last night in the restaurant. For those of you who are coming virtually, we'll see you tomorrow at high noon Central Time when we get the party started. It's going to be amazing. And you might see a couple of surprise pictures from me today. I cannot believe what the lobby and the room is already looking like. And they had only done half of it yesterday. I was like, oh, it's so different than any camp we've ever done. So I'm really excited. All right, guys, y'all have a good one. See you soon. Bye, y'all.